Today, as we come to the table,
they would pour the oil on there, and the oil would run down the beard of Aaron and run down his sons and all that. And they would just be soaked in this oil. And look at how symbolic that is. That is, Lord, I don't want just a little, you know, blop on my forehead. Soak me down. Pour the oil on, Lord. Fill me to overflowing. You know the expression we use, fill me to overflowing? That's what it is. Just, I mean, douse me. I want to be filled. I want it to be running over out of my life. So it's very symbolic here. And it actually would have been a blessing to them. It's drier in the Middle East than it is here. And so it would be a blessing. They often would use the oil for their skin and for their hair anyway. So kind of a blessing in the midst of this. Not like we think of in America, but you get the idea.
When you want something amazing, you don't want to experience just a tiny bit of it, right? Think of a giant delicious cake. Someone tells you it's all for you, but you only take a small crumb. That's not enough, is it? You want to truly experience all the goodness that cake has to offer. An experience with God is going to be even greater than that. So don't just ask for a crumb. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In his message today, Pastor Mark will be talking about being fully submerged in the presence of the Lord. It's something you have access to if you've given your life to Jesus. You can now know God intimately and fully every single day. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Exodus chapter 29 for today's edition of Come to the Table.
Let's open up to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29, and let's pray, ask the Lord to bless just the teaching of His Word, just the pure teaching of the Word of God tonight. And watch what God does. I love it. So, Father, thank You, Lord, for Your Word tonight. And, Lord, as we continue to look at the preparation for worship, and really that's what this is, preparation for worship for the children of Israel, Lord, as they get ready to put together their tabernacle, and to begin to seek Your face, Lord, through the sacrifices and the praise and giving it all to You. I just pray, Lord, that You would, Lord, prepare our hearts. As we see how You prepared them, Lord, prepare us. I just pray that You would open Your Word to us. I pray, God, You would speak to us tonight from Your Word. And God, I know You have something very specific in this portion of Your Word that You want Your flock to hear and You want Your people to know. And so, Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive as we just open up for what our God has for us tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we're in this part of Exodus, I told you the very last portion of Exodus, there's going to be a couple of little stories that we'll get into as we work toward the end of Exodus. But most of Exodus from this point on is really just the consecration of the priests, which we'll see tonight. The making of the implements for the tabernacle. Really what I would sum it up is as preparation for worship. Preparation to build their church. Preparation to have all the things they need to make church work. Preparation for, you know, anything that God might tell them they need in order to seek His face and to get the people ready. So we continue on in that. And I kind of jokingly call this portion of Scripture your broccoli and your vegetables, because it's not quite as good as prophecy, you know, and have that chocolate sundae. And sometimes, you know, there's not as much of just the other things you might be looking for, but healthy, 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 and lots of good nuggets tonight. So we continue on, and as we get into chapter 29, we see Aaron consecrating his sons for the ministry. So a lot of insight here in what God calls in the pastor, and I'll even say a lot of insight here in what God calls for each of us when it comes to serving the Lord. Notice, and this is what you shall do to them to hallow them for me, that is to set them apart and make them holy, for ministering to me as priests. So here's what the priests were to do. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish, unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers, anointed with oil. You shall make them of wheat and flour. You shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. Now, there's a lot of symbolism here. Notice when they're gathering the things that they're to offer to the Lord here, notice unleavened, 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 all through the process. It keeps talking about the unleavened. Why? Remember in Scripture, leaven is a type of evil. Leaven is a type of sin. So when God is consecrating priests and you, Remember, who are kings and priests to the Lord now? You guys are. Revelation chapter 1, this isn't just talking to pastors. There's an application to pastors, but there's also an application to you guys. You are kings and priests to the Lord now. So as kings and priests to the Lord, your life is supposed to be surrounded with unleavened. What does that mean? Getting the junk out. Getting rid of the sin. Getting rid of that is unholy. Getting rid of that which putrefies. By the way, leaven is just a rotting process. Did you know that? It's really a putrefying process. As bread is leavened, it's rotting. The fermenting process is rotting. Now, you can eat it and it's still yummy up to a point, but that's the process of what's happening. So it gives a picture. It does two things. It rots and it puffs up. Think what sin does in our life. It rots and it puffs up. Isn't it amazing how when we get sin in our life, we start rotting, somehow we think we're greater than we were before we started rotting? Isn't that interesting? Seems like the more rotten we get, the more puffed up we get. And that goes right in line with what leaven does, this whole picture that God gives, and yet it should be the opposite. The more rotten we get, the more humble we should get. And say, man, I'm really getting gross here. But instead, we get more prideful. So he says, get rid of all the leaven, bring them to the door of the tabernacle, and notice this. Notice what they're to be washed with. There's an offering there in the bull. So that's to be an offering. We know that the lamb, the Lord, is our offering. There's an offering here in the bull, but you're to wash them with what? Water. The Bible says that God's word is like water. It washes us. We're to be washed with the water of the word, to be cleansed. As we hear the word of God, it cleanses our mind. It cleanses our heart. This is a good kind of brainwashing, all right? It goes in there and washes out the brain. It washes out the heart. It washes out the mind. And this is what the priests, that is, i.e. us, were to do. We're to get rid of the yuck in our life. We're to repent. We're to be clean. We're to have the sacrifice of the Lord. And we're to wash ourselves with the water of the Lord. We're to be reading the word and cleansing ourselves, because that's what makes us ready to minister to the Lord first and then to God's people. Verse 5, then you shall take the garments. So now we come to the clothing portion. Put the tunic on Aaron, the robe of the ephod, the breastplate, and gird him with the intricately woven band of the ephod. Now there's a whole picture here of being clothed in robes of righteousness. The Bible says, as a believer, when we come to the Lord, we're to clothe ourselves in robes of righteousness. That is, in what Jesus did for us on the cross. So we put on his clothing, if you will. And so they literally put on this clothing here, but it's a picture of putting on the robe of righteousness, to be holy for the Lord. And notice, you should put a turban on his head. You should put the holy crown on the turban. Remember the holy crown, it said holiness to the Lord. And they would wear it right here on their forehead. We talked last week about the holiness in our life. Holiness to the Lord being in the forefront of our mind at all times. So the whole picture here being laid out. And you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Now understand, when they did this, it wasn't like we do with you guys when you come up for prayer. Some of you guys will come up for prayer and you'll say, hey, can you guys anoint me with some oil? And I've got this situation or that situation. And we'll take a little bit on our finger, you know, and we'll just kind of, you know, right there on your head, just, you know. I guess we could rub it around, but we don't. We just put it right there. It's symbolic. Remember what oil is symbolic of. It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So what we're doing is we're doing something physical to show that we're asking the Holy Spirit now to touch you, to pour out his spirit on you and to heal your body. And the Bible says to do that. God says to do that. I think it's not that the oil is magical, but I think for some people it releases their faith. You know, the pastor or the elders lay hands on them and they put the oil on them and their faith is released and they receive a healing. So I think there's a whole process involved in that. But understand, when they did this back then, what they would do, they didn't just put a little, you know, blot of oil on your head. They took a bottle of oil and poured it on your head. Now, if we did that today, you guys would probably go, oh, you know, what are you doing? But they would literally pour the oil on their head and run all the way down their hair and run down their beard and get all over their robes. And they were just soaked in this oil. Remember the psalm that says, you know, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in the Lord. It's like the oil running down the beard of Aaron. That's what he's talking about. They would pour the oil on there and the oil would run down the beard of Aaron and run down his sons and all that. And they would just be soaked in this oil. And look at how symbolic that is. That is, Lord, I don't want just a little, you know, blop on my forehead. Soak me down. Pour the oil on, Lord. Fill me to overflowing. You know the expression we use, fill me to overflowing? That's what it is. Just, I mean, douse me. I want to be filled. I want it to be running over out of my life. So it's very symbolic here. And it actually would have been a blessing to them. It's drier in the Middle East than it is here. And so it would be a blessing. They often would use the oil for their skin and for their hair anyway. So kind of a blessing in the midst of this. Not like we think of in America, but you get the idea. And notice verse 8. It says, then you shall bring your sons and put tunics on them, and you shall gird them with sashes that wrap around their waist, these kind of scarf-looking things. Aaron and his sons, and put hats on them. The priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute, and you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. Now, I don't have visuals this week. I apologize. We saw those last week. Notice this, you shall have the bull brought before the tabernacle of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the bull. Then you shall kill the bull before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now, why would they do this? This was symbolic of the transfer of their sins onto that animal. You would bring the animal to the priest, and you would lay your hands on that animal, and you'd lay your hands on its head, and then you'd give it to the priest, and they would lay their hands on its head, because it was showing I'm transferring the sins that I'm guilty of on that animal. And now that animal is taking my sins and will be a sacrifice for me. And again, the symbolism is pretty evident here, guys. It's the same thing that happened to the Lord. They laid hands on him, grabbing him to crucify him. And as they laid hands on him, the sins were transferred. Now again, symbolic, as the priests and those in authority were having him arrested and all. But it's this whole picture of transferring our sins onto the sacrificial, in this case, animal, with the Lord's sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God who was to take away the sins of the world. So they would transfer the sins, kill the bull. Now their sins being taken away. And this is interesting to me. Again, not really as much interesting as something you need to take note of. Notice this. The pastors have to be clean of sin first before they can minister to the people. And since you guys are priests, what does that mean for you? You have to be clean first. You have to confess your sin. Lord, forgive me of my sin. I'm getting ready to go counsel with somebody or getting ready to go and minister to somebody. You need to make sure that you're clean first. Because if you're not clean, you have nothing to offer them. You're grieving the Spirit. There's something hindering. So here he said, you kill the bull first. This is only for the priests. Later on, they'll consecrate the people. And I love this. Notice you shall kill it by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. The door, there was one way in. We talked about that. And Jesus said he was the door. So the sacrifice is where the door was. And Jesus is our sacrifice, and he is the door. So again, the symbolism here continues on. You shall take some of the blood of the bull, put it on the horns of the altar with your finger, and pour all the blood beside the base of the altar. And this is interesting to me because they would take the blood and sprinkle it all over the area there on the Temple Mount where the sacrifice was to be made, all over the Temple Mount. And then we're going to see in a moment they take the sin offering and take it outside the gates and finish the sacrifice out there. But again, very symbolic of what happened to the Lord. Remember when they had the Lord on the Temple Mount beating him? They were spattering his blood all over the Temple Mount. Even as they would take the blood of these animals and sprinkle it on the Temple Mount, the Lord's blood was literally sprinkled on the Temple Mount for us as well. You shall take all the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, and the two kidneys of the fat that's on them, and burn them on the altar. But the flesh of the bull with its skin and its offal you shall burn with fire outside the camp. Note that. It is a sin offering. Get this, guys. The sin offering was always to be burned outside the camp. The sacrifice was to be sprinkled and started with blood on the inside, and then the final blood and all the offal and all the awful stuff and all the other stuff was to be burned up completely outside of the walls as a sin offering. Why is that significant? Remember the symbolism of the Lord. Beaten, his blood sprinkled on the Temple Mount, and then the Lord was what? Our sin offering was taken outside the walls of Jerusalem to Golgotha and crucified. So you see this whole picture here of the very same thing. I mean, God built Jesus Christ into every page of the Bible. Have you guys caught on to that yet? He's in here everywhere. It's amazing. And it's amazing to me the Jews can't see it because it's just built into everything they did and everything they're going to begin to do as they rebuild their third temple. So we're going to see this again. You shall also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. And you shall kill the ram, you shall take its blood and sprinkle it all around the altar. Again, here's the ram, the sacrifice, the blood being spilled and sprinkled. Then you shall cut the ram in pieces, wash its entrails and legs, and put it with its pieces, with its head. Note this, and you shall burn the entire ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Now, why is this significant? Because burnt offerings are where you gave everything to God. See, on some of the offerings, like the peace offerings, you would put part of the animal on there and you'd have a barbecue. They would cook it for you. They would give it back to you. And you would sit down and eat it, and it would represent you having fellowship and that oneness with the Lord. There's something about eating together that creates intimacy. Eating together creates fellowship. God designed it that way, and that's how God designed, even in the sacrifices, there was this intimacy. There was this fellowship that took place as they would eat with the Lord. But this is interesting to me because, again, even as Jesus was our entire burnt offering, notice it says that he was cut to pieces. They sprinkled the blood. He was cut to pieces. Remember the Lord being whipped. His back literally cut to pieces. And then all of the pieces burned together on the altar as this ram in this sacrifice. So again, very clear symbolism here, a sweet aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. You shall also take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons, and shall put their hands on the head of the ram. Then you shall kill the ram, take some of its blood, and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron, the tip of the right ear of his sons, on the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, and sprinkle blood all around the altar. Now, guys, note this. Look at that again, how symbolic this is of how the priest is to live his life. And I'm going to transfer this to you, because this is how you're to live your life as well. You are priests unto the Lord, as we've already said. Notice, first of all, what he said. Blood does what? Blood cleanses. Blood washes away and cleanses. And notice what he says to the ear. Take some of the blood and put it on the tip of your right ear. Why would God say that? Here's why. Because the Bible says what goes in your ear goes where? Really? So what I'm listening to affects my heart? Sure. You mean the kind of music? Sure. You mean the kind of teaching? Sure. You mean the kind of movies, the kind of things that go in my ear, they affect my heart? Absolutely. And so God says, be careful. You're free in Christ, right? But be discerning what you let in your ear. Put the blood on your ear. Let your ear be pure for the Lord if you're going to be an effective priest for the Lord. Notice the next thing. Also, he says, put it on the thumb of the right hand. What do we do with our hands? You mean what I do with my hands can affect my holiness? Yeah, you want to cleanse your hand, but what are you doing with it? Are you using your hands for sin? Are you using your hands for righteousness? See, the hand of a priest needs to be clean. It needs to be pure. Notice the next thing. On the big toe of the right foot. This is just so it won't stink. I'm kidding. That was a joke. You guys are so serious. No, probably what you're going to say is, no, it just wasn't funny. And that's fine. But on your right toe, why? Because where you walk needs to be guarded. You need to have a holy walk. Where are your feet taking you? Are your feet taking you places that God would approve of? Are your feet taking you places that the Lord would want to go with you? Purify where you walk. Purify what you do. Purify what you hear. Even as the Bible tells us to guard our eyes as well, because what goes in the eyes also goes to the heart. Now, these things don't necessarily defile. The Lord said what goes in you doesn't defile, it's what comes out. But here's the problem. What goes in the heart, plants seeds, and then what grows? All the junk. Then the junk comes out of the heart, and guess what happens? Now you're defiled. So that's why it says guard your eyes, guard your ears, guard your hands, guard where you go. Just be wise, free in Christ, but use wisdom. Verse 21, you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments, on his sons and on the garments of his sons with him. Isn't that interesting? They were to be cleansed by a stain. Their clothes were to be cleansed by a stain. Boy, if that worked for me, I'd have the cleanest clothes in America. I can get a stain on me when there's no stain around. And he and his garments shall be hallowed, that is set apart for the Lord. And his sons and his sons' garments with him. And you shall take the fat of the ram, the fat tail, the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys, and the fat on them, the right thigh, for it's the ram of consecration, one loaf of bread, one cake made with oil, one wafer of the basket of unleavened bread, that's before the Lord. And put all these in the hands of Aaron and the hands of his sons, and you shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Now, a couple of things. They would take the offering and they would wave it. And it was basically saying, God, I'm giving this to you, but I get to keep it. I'm giving this to you, but I get to keep it. That's basically what we do when we give our family to the Lord. Lord, I give you my wife. I give you my kids. I give you my home. I give you my car. I give you my whatever. I give you my life. I give all to you. God says, you can keep it. Use it. Be a good steward over it. But I want you to wave it before me. Give it to me. Turn it over to me. I want everything in your life. So there's a beautiful picture here in the wave offering of giving everything to the Lord, waving it before him and saying, God, you're letting me keep it, but really it's yours. And if you want it, you have every right to take it. So that's the wave offering in part there. But notice all the other things. You're to also offer bread, which again, that's whole symbolism of the word of God, oil, symbolism of the Holy Spirit. We're to be in the word, we're to be in prayer, we're to be giving everything to the Lord. And notice again, the unleavened in there, that is to be clean, but also the fatty, 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 fatty. Why the fatty? Because that's where the good flavor comes from. Man, you throw that steak on the grill, and when that fat's, you know, when that's heating up, that's what smells so good, is the fat. So there's a whole picture there. God is saying, when you make these offerings to me, let it be sweet to me. And how do we apply that to our lives, that the offering is sweet to the Lord? Purity, unleavened, anointed in the oil, washed in the word, ears that are clean, hands that are clean, feet that are clean unto the Lord. He says, that's a sweet aroma to me. So there's a lot of, again, a lot of pictures here that he gives in these sacrifices as he describes them. Then you shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration, wave it as an offering before the Lord. It shall be your portion. And from the ram of the consecration, you shall consecrate the breast that is consecrated, just means set aside. Consecrate the breast of the wave offering, which is waved, and the thigh and the heave offering, which is raised, and that which is for Aaron, and that which is for his sons. And it shall be from the children of Israel for Aaron and his sons by a statute forever, for it is a heave offering. It shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel, from the sacrifice and the peace offerings, that is their heave offering to the Lord. Now the wave offering back and forth, heave offering, you're giving this heave offering up to the Lord. Lord, it's yours, but you're letting me keep it. Lord, I'm waving this. I'm showing that all that I have belongs to you. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be for his sons after him to be anointed on them and to be consecrated in them. That son who becomes priest in his place shall put them on for 7 days when he enters the tabernacle of meeting to minister to the holy place. And you shall take the ram of the consecration, boil its flesh in the holy place. And Aaron and his son shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door. Note that again, of the tabernacle of meeting. Now, again, they were to wear these clothes for 7 days. They were to stay in the tabernacle 7 days until that was done to make them official. Why? The number seven being the number of completion. God's saying, I want you to be completely sanctified, completely holy, completely set apart for me. And notice this, you're to eat of the sacrifice by the door. Again, do you see the picture going on here? Jesus is the door to God. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. He wasn't talking about cannibalism. He was talking about the symbolism of becoming one. When you eat something, you become one. It assimilates in your body. You know, that burger you had today, it becomes one with you when you eat it. So he's saying, become one with me. Take me in. Let me be a part of you. You be a part of me. And you're to eat this again by the door. So would it become one with the Lord? And he is the door and all these things. Verse 33, they shall eat those things with which the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them. But the outsider, note this, but the outsider shall not eat them because they are holy. We would say the unbeliever cannot have the fellowship. An unbeliever cannot be one with the Lord. An unbeliever cannot even hear the voice of the Lord other than repent. You know, I mean, God could say they can hear the voice of the Lord. If God wants to say something to them, I don't want to limit the Lord there. But you get my point. There's no relationship. So an outsider can't take part of this. And if any of the flesh of the consecrated offerings or the bread remains until morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten because it is holy. Thus you shall do to Aaron and his sons according to all that I've commanded you. 7 days you shall consecrate them. You shall offer every bull every day as a sin offering for atonement. You shall cleanse the altar when you make atonement for it. You shall anoint it and sanctify it. Now, why did they have to make offerings every day? Because we sin every day. Good answer. Or somebody say it. We're forgiven, and if you sin and die right after it, you're going to heaven. You know, the Bible talks about God's blood covering you. But because we sin every day, we need to be cleansed every day. There needs to be not a repeated sacrifice. The sacrifice was done once and for all. But we need to go to the Lord and say, God, forgive me. Cleanse me of today's sins. Wash me clean, you know. It's like Jesus said to Peter when he was washing his feet. He said, you're clean. He said, you just need to wash your feet. He was making a point. You're forgiven of your sins, but when you walk around in the world, you get a lot of dirt on you. Are you with me? And the only way to get the dirt off is to wash it off, and we wash the dirt of the world off by asking God's forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. Maybe you've heard these things mentioned in the book of Exodus before, or perhaps you're hearing it for the first time. Exodus is one of those books where it's undeniable, observing God's power and might in what He does through His people and for His people. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Exodus next time, but you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series, plus much more, at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. Before we close, we want you to know that if you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark in the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community. And through this radio outreach, there's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. We also meet on Sunday nights at 6 or Wednesday nights at 7. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of the waymedia.net for a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Exodus, so be sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.